Hi, Cole here, creator and narrator of The Town Whispers. It's been a long summer, but the leaves once again fall, and with autumn comes longer nights that beg for darker tales. And to fill those long, cold evenings, I've launched a brand new podcast called Tiny Terrors. Tiny Terrors is a nostalgic horror anthology series that is as fun as it is dark. Join three friends as they delve into a forgotten corner of storytelling history and bring to light the darker depths yet still hidden in those often untraveled corners. Subscribe, listen, and review Tiny Terrors wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The Town Whispers is a horror podcast that will tell the many stories hidden behind the trees and the rain and the fog of the Pacific Northwest. Those whispers which are secrets are also keys to unlock doors which should otherwise stay shut. Those whispers which are ideas can infest your mind and make you do things without ever thinking why. And those whispers which can be poison are why listener discretion is advised. In a town as small as the fort, with his mouths as big as those on the sneering faces of less understanding neighbors, like those that learnt of, or thought they learnt of, Mildred LaPont's scandalous moonlit insanity. Well, it doesn't take long until everyone is knowingly nodding at each other about, well, you know what. And of course, Mildred's husband, who doesn't really deserve a name, so will not receive one just yet, did not support her. Instead, his worries lay on minimizing the embarrassment suffered by his once prominent family. And Peggy LaPont, Mildred's youngest child, an only daughter who had seen her mother acting crazy and cackling in the moments before dawn, was left speechless. In the most literal sense, she would not speak. Not to her self-serving father, and not to her brothers. Even at the best of times, she only ever whispered in her mother's ear. Mildred, of course, thought it was cute, like all of Peggy's love was just for her. Peggy would come up and hug her leg, and Mildred would bend down. Peggy would cup her tiny soft hands around her ear and whisper so gently that it would tickle Mildred's earlobe. And Mildred would laugh and get Peggy whatever she wanted because, well, her daughter was the most precious thing in the world to her. But after that night, Peggy felt afraid of her mother. Afraid to see her. Afraid she'd still be covered in wet cobwebs and dirt. She was afraid she'd see her mom laughing hysterically in bed to the point where there was no noise but the clicking of her airless, suffocating throat. And, of course, Peggy's father had pushed her away from the room Anytime he saw her mustering the strength to go see her mother, who had not left her room since that morning. He would see Peggy hovering and give her a gruff, "Leave her alone," and push her in the opposite direction. What would be so terrible that she wasn't able to see her mother and whisper in her ear,
"I love you the most."
That's all she wanted to do. Peggy just wanted to tell her mother she loved her and have her mother smile and touch the tip of Peggy's nose to hers before whispering back,
"No, I love you the most."
Even if Peggy hadn't been stopped by her father, and even if the door hadn't been locked, she wasn't sure if she could walk through. She wasn't sure she could open her eyes and see her mother because she was afraid that what she'd see would not be her mom, but someone else. Someone different. And so Peggy went to bed, silently having said nothing to her father, who'd given up on trying to speak to her ages ago, and having no one to tell her fears to, as they festered in her mind. Peggy sat on her bed. The springs in her mattress had a particular way of sticking and making an awful groan as they tore at the inside of the mattress, startling her as it struck her in the back. But she hadn't woken to the stinging pain of an unstuck spring in her back tonight. Something else had woken her. Peggy had slept with her window open. The damp air that rested along the ground outside her home had crept up the porch, along the gutter, over the eaves and into her room. Her hot breath cast a cloud in front of her mouth that obscured her blurry, sleepy-eyed vision of the room. And there was something in the room with her. Piggy opened her eyes as wide as they would go, trying to see what was in her room. But nothing moved.
"Who's there?"
Peggy hoped she'd hear nothing back, but ordering whatever might be trying to scare her to reveal itself all the same. But still nothing. The room remained silent. There it was again. Her eyes slowly drifted over to the door. Her mother had made a habit of not quite closing it, letting a little light from the hallway filter in, so that Peggy wouldn't be afraid, but her mother was locked in her room, and so was Peggy, completely in the dark and alone. Peggy threw her ratty worn blanket over her head. She held her breath for a moment before the thump, thump, thump of her heart pushed her breath out, and she inhaled again sharply, feeling the sting of the damp cold in the room hit the back of her teeth. Peggy tilted her head, slightly angling her ear to the door.
"You're safe under your blanket."
The hairs raised on the back of her neck as a cold sweat fell across her forehead. Piggy dared not move. She dared not breathe. Her joints felt tense and aching, and she felt her heart booming in her chest with fear.
"You are a child of Whisper. I am Whisper too. I am a Whisper. Will you Whisper with me?"
She tried to hold her breath so that she could hear just a little bit better, but she could hear her heart beating against the inside of her skull. Piggy's eyes closed tight and tears welled in the corners, trickling down her cheeks. She should scream for her mom. She should scream now and her mom would come, but her mom wouldn't come. Her mother was locked in her room. Her mother was ill. And Piggy was alone. Piggy should scream for her father then, but he'd be mad. He was always mad at her, mad that she wouldn't speak, mad that she wouldn't play, mad that she was born. He hated her and she felt it. Piggy was alone, with no one to protect her.
"What is a whisper?"
Piggy asked, knowing what a whisper was, but not knowing how a whisper could be a thing that spoke to her without being spoken by someone or something else.
"I am a whisper."
"But what is a whisper?"
"I can be a friend of your secret. I can tell you secrets if you are a whisper too. Then I can tell you secrets. Do you want to know secrets and be a whisper like me? Then we can be friends, and I would like a friend.
What secrets do you know?"
"Are you my friend?"
"If I am a whisper and you are a whisper, then we are friends."
"Then I will be a whisper of secrets and tell you secrets that you do not. Child,
tell me secret whispers then."
The whisper did not speak to Peggy, not at first. She sat under the covers and began to wonder if she had dreamt it all, and it wouldn't be the first time. She'd often had weird dreams, and even when she was awake, she'd heard bumping in the night and creaking walls in the day. It unsettled her father when she'd stare down an empty hallway or suddenly jump and look out the window. But her mother had found it adorable, like everything else about her. Maybe it was all a dream. Maybe it was just a silly dream and she should go to bed and she should shut her... This was not a dream.
"To give Father Death whisper under your breath."
"Tell me."
"Tell you what?"
"Tell me what to say."
"What does Piggy say to make mean men go away?"
The silent room was filled with the skittering and scampering of tiny dust bunnies in the night. A legion of night crawlers that filled Peggy's room and the hall outside. She could feel the buzzing of them. They grew and multiplied. They swarmed and fluttered all around her like moths drunk on light, flapping and colliding with one another. The blanket over her head fluttered back and forth like leaves in the wind, and she grasped the beaten and well-loved blanket in her tiny hands and tucked it under her feet and pressed the edges behind her down with her hands. The buzzing became a drone that shook her teeth, and her eyes burst into tears out of fear. What was happening? Peggy had no idea, but she knew she'd done something. She knew her friend, which was most definitely not a friend and absolutely not a dream. She knew this nightmare was not a nightmare, but actually happening, and it had done something. It had tricked her somehow. And then the calamity of the darkness and the night-crawling dust bunnies that flooded her room outside her blanket rose in a crescendo, and what sounded like crashing cymbals or the body of a man hitting the floor, knocking chairs over, settled the house into its usual nightly silence once more. Peggy's face was wet with tears. She was too afraid to move, too afraid to see what had happened, too afraid to see what she had done. But what had she done? Slowly, Peggy pulled the blankets off her face, consumed by the curiosity of the noise downstairs. She listened, angling her ear to the door. She could hear the soft padding of feet. Familiar padding. Padding of her mother's feet? Peggy jumped off her bed, smiling ear to ear, and ran out in the hallway. And she saw her mother walking down the hallway, and then past Peggy and down the stairs. She wasn't excited to see Peggy. She hadn't hugged her or bent down to listen to Peggy whisper in her ear that she loved her the most. No, Mildred, Peggy's mother, quietly walked down the stairs. Peggy, determined to get her mother's attention, forgetting all about what had just happened and about the noise, ran up behind her mother and pulled at her nightgown, but instead of pulling her back, instead of Mildred turning around and hugging her daughter, she pulled Peggy along with her, down the creaking and groaning stairs and into the living room. Her mother stopped abruptly. Finally, Peggy thought, as she hugged her mother's leg and cried. And she cried a good long while, too, long enough to soak the nightdress in a large patch around her face. Peggy was so happy to have her mother back. So happy to hug her and touch her. She'd missed her mother. She'd been so afraid, but she knew now that she had nothing to be afraid of. Her mother was the same. She'd always been the same. Mildred reached down and grabbed Peggy by the hair, twisting her wrist and wrapping the fine, long hair that fell from Peggy's head around her fingers. She balled her hand and tore Peggy's face away from her and held her at arm's length, ripping Peggy's arms from embracing her leg. Peggy threw her hands up and grabbed her mother's hand, her face contorted in pain. And then Mildred threw her forward. Peggy put her hands in front of her face to brace against the stiff wooden floor, but instead of cracking her elbows against wood, she fell onto something warm and soft. Peggy jumped back. Her eyes wouldn't focus at first, the tears and darkness obscuring what it was she'd fallen on. But as her eyes adjusted, Peggy stood frozen in place. She saw his toes first, broken and bent out of shape, and stuck in place. Her father lay on the floor, bent and twisted like a wilted leaf. His eyes were red and dark and lifeless, and from his mouth flowed a foul-smelling puddle of dark brown pus. His hair was ripped violently from the scalp, but still half-hanging, clinging to skin that had come with the hair like a hangnail torn too low. And his body, oh God, his body was covered in hundreds, no, thousands of little teeth marks. Good evening, neighbors. How was it? Are you feeling less assured that your homes will keep you safe? That your dreams are really dreams and not the spells of immortal beings who aim to push and pull you like a paper doll being tossed in the wind? It's an important lesson to learn, but I'm sure you're safe, right? Next episode, we will be taking a break from the LaPont family, because there are other townsfolk I want to introduce you to. So, you'll have to sit tight for a while to find out what terrible grand designs the Long Shadows have for the LaPont family. You didn't think their suffering was over just yet, did you? Trust me when I say, there are many players moving chess pieces around the quaint and quiet little chessboard known as the fort. And next week, you'll learn the name of another sacrificial pawn. Today's episode was written and performed by Cole Weavers. Sound production and editing by Matt Black. Our theme song is by Charlie Pierce Smith. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram and on Twitter at The Town Whispers. And if you'd like to help the town council, perhaps patch the church roof, or condemn the old LaPont Manor, or perhaps build a mausoleum for the ones who will never die, consider supporting our wonderful little town, which is nothing but pleasant, even when you are unable to sleep because of the screams echoing from the bog. You can do so by visiting our town hall at patreon.com/thetownwhispers. For a few dollars a month, you'll gain the knowledge that has been nibbled from your mind by the worms whispered by sleep, and find records written by the founders of our humble, little monstrosity of a town. You might even find a relic or two in your mailbox on occasion. For more information on the show, head on over to www.thetownwhispers.com. I got the ghost of you inside of my head. What I'm supposed to do, the blood has been shed. He got a dark past and a soul that's unfair. I'm the one with a loaded gun in the icy and red. What I'm supposed to do, he's already dead. He's already dead. He's already dead. He's already dead.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.